Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome, everybody, to Season 2, Episode 12 of The Psychologists Are In. I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And today we have an incredible episode for you all. We are talking about The Old and the Restless, the episode where Henry shines and rocks an old-timey swimsuit. I love me a Henry-centric episode. Enjoy. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Maggie.
Tim.
Maggie, a very important question, Maggie. I'm sure everyone is worried. How are you feeling since you got your touch of the dreaded COVID?
Yeah, I feel way better. I still kind of sound a little stuffy. I would say it's like I've got the linger the linger version of COVID.
The lingerer.
Exactly. Yeah, so I feel all right. I feel, I think I'm just a little tired still. I notice that I get tired about, you know, this time in the afternoon and have to shut it down for a little bit. Little cough, little sniffles. I'm okay overall though.
But you're ultimately on the mend.
Oh, definitely on the mend. I feel way better. Way, way, way better. Just these kind of like frustrating, leftover. Yeah, this would be day, day 15 for me or 14 or something. It's been a while, but
that sounds very much not fun.
No, and the fog, the brain fog stuff, I do think is better. But as I was sort of telling you before, I don't know if my brain just got like so preoccupied with thinking about COVID that it was just taking up so much space. It made me foggy on other topics, or if I actually have some kind of like little brain fog from it. But I think I'm sharpening up. I hope.
You'll be sharp as a tag and right as rain is in no time.
I hope so. We'll see, I guess. We'll see how this episode goes. How are you feeling, Tim?
I'm doing really well, thanks. I'm good.
Good. It's a Sunday.
It's nice. I could see my dear friend Maggie Lawson virtually.
What a fun Sunday. I know. It's such a bonus to see you on a Sunday. We usually do Mondays, and this was really nice. Very excited.
And we might actually be able to get together in person this next week.
I know. We are hopeful. This will come out on Thursday, yeah. So we have a Maggie and Tim date on Friday, hopefully. You look great, Tim.
That's the most important thing. Tell me about the awesome hat you're rocking.
Oh, just my new favorite hat that I never take off.
Gorgeous baseball cap that happens to say The Psychologists Are In.
Yes, it does.
That's an amazing merch.
Yeah, this is our merch, guys. This is
all
the merch.
And I've got my podcast, The Shit Out of a Cup.
Oh my God, look at us. Look at us. We're like fangirls and fanboys for our own podcast.
Of ourselves. Well, I mean, I am my biggest fan. I'm certainly your biggest fan.
I'm certainly your biggest fan. Is it tacky to wear our own gear from our own podcast?
I've drawn the line that I can't wear a t-shirt with my own face on it.
Oh, that's where the line is drawn. But
that is
I
my
can...
new draw line. I mean, I always joke that if Alex would let me, I would wear a t-shirt that says, "Hey, I'm on TV."
Oh, Tim, I think I know what your next birthday present is. I can wear a shirt with your face on it, though.
That is true.
Devin, we're going to need some merch, but it's just going to be specifically for me and Tim to wear each other's faces on the other one's shirt. Okay,
well,
cool.
I do have a new Stan's charity shirt for Ukraine with a Mike Kane character on it.
I saw that. I love that you're doing that. I think it's so wonderful.
Thank you. I mean, Stan's has been great with the Supernatural gang in helping us pursue our charitable endeavors. And I've been really wanting to figure out a way to specifically help the children of Ukraine affected by this horrific war situation. Well, not war situation, this horrific war. So the proceeds all go to a great boots on the ground charity in the Ukraine, helping kids affected with a lot of like, they're doing a lot of psychological help. And so it was a great charity that I found. And plus another excuse to put my own face on a t-shirt, which I can never wear myself, but Maggie can wear it.
I totally can. And I will, especially to support this cause. What is the Boots on the Ground charity name?
I think it's Voices of Children.
Voices of Children. I love that. So they're helping them not only just coping, but also like the side effects of what is happening.
Yeah. And they actually messaged me on Instagram because I was on my, the shirt, if anybody's interested, is on my Instagram page.
Which you model very well.
The info I've had to get. And so I tagged the charity in the in one of my posts, and they were very nice to reach back and thank me and thank all the people who are buying the shirt and talk about some of the work they're doing and how much it's helping them. And then you can go to their page and look at the work they're doing, which is just incredible.
Wow, Tim, I love that.
Yeah. I'm just lucky that I have a voice and a platform that I can try and make the world a little bit better of a better place.
I hear you. And you are. You do. Every day.
Thanks.
You do. Just by being you, you do. And I think a lot of people would agree with me on that.
You guys are the best.
I know they would, actually. Yeah. No, you're the best. You're the best.
No, it's a little bit too much about me. I'm getting embarrassed. Hey, Maggie, what are we going to do?
Way to deflect. We're going to podcast the shit out of it, Tim. What
are
you
going
to do? This is episode 12. I cannot believe we are already to episode 12 of this season.
How are we halfway into the season already? Or halfway?
I mean, well past halfway. I have no idea. Time is flying. It's so fun with you. Hey, I wanted to give a little Henzi shout out because you heard from him the other day and he listens to the podcast all the time and I think has called us both on just separate occasions to talk about how much it's so kind. And so yeah, this is a Henzi.
Of course, we're talking
about
our incredible executive producer and friend, Chris Henzi.
Yeah.
Who not only helped create the Psychos because he was such an integral part of creating the show. He is a psycho. And he's right there with y'all. So he said I got a lovely call from him the other day saying last week from the Mirror episode, saying that he gets really excited when he realizes there's a new episode and he tends to listen to the show while driving in the car, which of course driving in LA is laborious.
Yeah.
So he listens to us instead of music and he's been finding it very enjoyable. And he loves the inside stories that he wasn't around for because he wasn't always on set like you and I were.
Yeah.
So that was nice to get a call from Chris. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. I heard from him a few months ago as well. And I wanted to make sure we had a little Chris. We threw Chris a little love today because he's so great. Anyway, so there you go, Henzi. I hope you're listening. We love you. All right.
Okay, put it this way. Chris, give us a text next Thursday if you heard this, because that way it'll be like a proof of life. We know you listened to the podcast.
Oh, this is a test. Oh, no. No, he'll pass it. Trust me. Yay. Tim.
Maggie.
This is episode 12, The Old and the Restless, which is funny because I was like, I was thinking about this episode and I remembered what it was about, but I didn't remember the storyline as well. And I realize it's because you and I have a completely separate storyline.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't remember it either. And then watch him, it's like, oh, that's why, because we were not really involved in the main storyline.
Also,
the A story, as they call it in the business.
Yes, exactly. The main storyline. But did Kirsten had a haircut, right?
It was definite. I wasn't sure if that was just a new season to do, but that was a new do for this episode.
It was definitely a new do. She looked fantastic. I was like, oh, this is very, very cute. I thought she looked so great. And before we get in on the synopsis, another thing too that I really loved was it was a real Henry heavy, and he was part of the hijinks with the boys.
I think this was really one of our first big Henry Corbin Burnson episodes.
Yeah. Anything you want to shout out before, Tim, or what you got your notes for going through?
My notes are ready to go. But
yay!
Because I'm trying to go extra professional, even though we're more than halfway through this season. I'm not resting on my laurels. I'm trying to double down on my professional note taking.
And I think I've become. I'm relying on you too much at this point because you take such good notes that this time I think I wrote like 5 things down and the rest I was like, oh, well, Tim will pick this up. Tim takes the best notes.
Okay, well, Maggie, to be fair, you do all the advertising. So you do the heavy lifting there. I can try and do the heavy lifting with some of the notes.
The notes? I love it because I love your notes. They're always really good. Oh, one other thing I wanted to make sure to mention that I thought was a really cool kind of, well, it was a good secret. And then it was also really cool to see you and Dulé. I mean, I know you weren't in the finale, but like to be a part of the same show, to see Dulé on This Is Us the other night. He was so good. And it was such an interesting.
I saw, because I got to go to the rap party, I saw John Huertas, who plays Miguel there. Mm-hmm. And he let the cat out of the bag that Dulé was on the show, although he didn't say what his character was. So then to see him show up and be so good was, and such a great part of the legacy of that show. I mean, the storytelling of that show was pretty incredible. And I got to say, The Train was just, that's the name of that episode. For all you This Is Us fans out there who watched it, it was just an incredible, it's like I told KJ Steinberg, who was one of the writers on the episode, like she pitched a perfect game on that one.
I was the same. I was actually blown away. It's funny because I lagged. Like I watched, I think, the first season. I've definitely seen your episodes and episodes here and there. And then I went and watched the finale to see Dulé, obviously, and just, you know, or not finale, sorry. The penultimate, I keep calling it that. But just what a show. I don't know, the storytelling on the, and I know this is a psych podcast and not This Is Us, but I feel like we can talk about it because it's also Peacock and you were on it and so is Dulé. But The Train, the way that she shared that with her dad and then that was the way she kind of walked into, you know, passing. Like it was really beautifully done.
And then Dan actually posted an article on his Twitter feed that said that they're thinking it actually when you die, you might, the brain scientists are not thinking your life may actually flash in front of before your eyes, which was kind of like The Train episode. And so he also tweeted about this particular episode, a big shout out to his writing staff. And he said, a giant idea by KJ Steinberg. And KJ worked together on Judging Him. It was one of her first jobs. So I texted her and was like, The Train was your idea, wasn't it? And she was like, yes, it was. So I was very, very proud of this young woman who started out on this little show that I started out on.
I love Judging Him.
It's now gone on to just stupendous success.
Isn't it fun to see the people we've met and worked with along the way? Like, I have a lot of full circle moments over the years as well, but just to have something like that come back like that, I don't know. I think it's really, really special. And especially a show like that. It's a really powerful stuff.
Well, now, because this episode we're recording right now is going to drop on, I think, this Thursday, and if I'm correct.
Yeah.
So the finale is Tuesday, so y'all will have already seen it if you're fans of that show. So we could say, oh my God, how much did you cry? I know I cried.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm already anticipating that Tuesday night's finale is going to wreck me.
It's such an emotional show. I mean, I'm like, wait, they are just trying to make people cry. But no, it's all organic. It's all authentic. It always feels, you know, like it's because of, like it's not on purpose. It's just life. It's just documenting all these what makes up a life. I don't know. It's pretty wild.
Master storytellers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of which, we go back to one of the writers, my friend James Laporta, who I've talked to about. He was one of the writers on This Is Us who wrote all of Cassidy's Marine storyline stuff. And James is a Marine. He was the Afghan Marine vet who used to watch Psych with his platoon after he'd come back from patrol. So talking about full circle, it's like I got to meet him because of this show and become friends.
Wow. That's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Look at us today.
Full circle moments.
Look at these full circle moments.
Let's dig in.
Let's dig in. Episode 12, The Old and the Restless. I completely missed this. The pineapple sighting, Tim, did you catch it?
Absolutely not.
I didn't either. The lamps in the senior community center have pineapples on them. Did not catch that at all. Okay. Although I do think Henry's shirt was like a Hawaiian
theme. Well, yes, like a Tommy Bahama thing. So I think like his, you can always count on Henry's shirt to have some kind of Hawaiian tropical fruit on it.
Yeah. Okay, cold open. Young Sean and his grandpa.
Grandpa, played by American comedy royalty, Brian Doyle Murray.
Brian Doyle Murray, who I was kind of starstruck by because I mean, he's been in a gazillion things, but I remember when we worked with him just because my little, I love me some Christmas movies and I love me some Christmas Vacation, and he is the boss in Christmas Vacation and he's very funny and he's very good. And so I saw him and I was like, I know you from a lot of other things, but I watch you every Christmas multiple times.
You know, I was flabbergasted Star Trek by him.
Right? It was wild. I wish, you know, I wish we saw more of him. Everyone is talking about fake spring and how difficult it is to dress around this time. But that's because it is. It can be so difficult to find the right outfit in the spring when every day is different and the weather can change at the drop of a hat. Yeah, you need layers because, you know, sometimes at night it's really chilly. Sometimes during the day it's really warm. Like, you kind of have to be prepared for everything in fake spring. Luckily, Faherty makes it way easier. They make the perfect clothes for all seasons. Faherty is a family-run brand making high-quality, timeless clothing with modern design and functionality. It's that kind of effortless style you want every time you go digging in your closet. That set, that shirt, that dress, that feels like you've had them for years. Maybe it's in a gorgeous print, and it looks like it might be vintage. But if it's so well that it feels like it was just made yesterday just for you, well, that is Faherty. I can speak from experience on this. You can wear it all the time, every day. It wears so well. It washes so well. And everything looks really like comfy, casual, like it was kind of made for you. Faherty is so confident in the quality of their stuff. They have a lifetime guarantee of quality. They'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. Talk about making it easier to get dressed. And right now, Faherty is giving all of the Psychologist RN listeners 20% off. 20% off. Head to FahertyBrand.com and use code PSYCH at checkout to snag 20% off all your new spring staples. That's code PSYCH at Faherty, F-A-H-E-R-T-Y, brand.com for 20% off.
Do you remember this like one moment we were kind of sitting around our cast chairs and he was there and I was just kind of so tongue-tied. I wanted to talk to him, but just didn't want to sound like a total dope. So I ended up probably just not saying much other than like, you're so awesome, dude. I don't know. And I found that we had last week, we had a reference to Caddyshack. And of course, Brian Doyle was one of the co-stars of Caddyshack as the head caddy. I got a whole paragraph on him with my ultra professional notes.
Oh, I love it. Great. Okay. Okay. Cold open. Young Sean and his grandpa, who we were starstruck to see, plop down on a park bench getting ready to feed some birds. His grandpa tells him the bread was a decoy and they're on the beach to girl watch. His grandpa asks him to tell him about a girl. Sean gives observations. His grandpa wants him to use his imagination and give her interests, what she likes, etc. Sean imagines a wacky background story and his grandpa laughs. Henry joins them on the bench, taking all the fun out of it.
Buzzkill Henry to the rescue.
Buzzkill Henry. I like that. Okay, snap back to present day. Sean and Gus sneak around a building at night. They're both dressed in ripe boysenberry colored top. In a ripe boysenberry colored top. I like this. Oh, they're sneaking around the building. They're sneaking around the...
The exterior the thing, of the...
The exterior, yes. They arrive at a sign.
Sorry.
On a fence that says, danger, high voltage. A cop shows up and they get in trouble. Back at Henry's house, Sean and Gus attempt to sneak away with some of his tools in preparation for a stakeout. They obviously get caught, mentioning there's a missing person from a retirement community. Sean and Henry begin a bet that Henry would get in before those two can. Sean, Gus, and Henry stake out the old folks' home. When Sean, Sean and Henry do, Gus is conked out because Henry wanted them to meet at 6 a.m. In perfectly choreographed fashion, they disguise Henry as an old man and sign him up for old folks' home enrollment. Talmadge McGulliger is the name. Undercover police work is the game. Yes, Devin. That's great.
Did you catch the chief? On Golden Pond, I mean, the Henry Fonda reference?
Wait, what's the Henry Fonda reference?
Once they dress him up, and they put him in the kind of that old bucket hat and glasses. Mm-hmm. He walks and he says, "I look like Henry Fonda," which of course is a reference to Henry Fonda in On Golden Pond.
Oh, okay.
Although he's
okay.
Also looking very Hunter S. Thompson, which I thought was interesting.
I could see the Hunter S. Thompson as well. The chief has Juliet and Lassiter come into her office. She wants them to straighten the delinquent out. Only problem is his mom is the deputy mayor. Sean and Gus are secretly working with an assistant officer at the facility. He mentioned that the missing old man disappeared 3 days ago without a trace. That's him. Go on, Tim.
We've jumped ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
When they go into the retirement community.
Yeah.
There's a kind of a cranky lady run place, Nate, whose character's name is Pamela. Psychic premonition, because that actress's name is Karen Conville, who in 9 years' time would appear with me in a delightful little family film called Woody Woodpecker, a live-action Woody Woodpecker. Yes, that's right. I did do a live-action Woody Woodpecker.
Yes, you did.
From our parent company, Universal, full disclosure, which I'm sure it's also available on the Peacock, and I think it's Netflix. So I just was like, oh, Pamela's in that. Okay, now go on. Oh, and I've once we're in the Vic's office, I have a variation on the psychologists are in drinking game.
Oh, tell us, Tim.
Which season one was, of course, it was all about the bright colors. We talk a lot about drinking on this podcast.
I was about to say, this is a pretty clean episode that we are managing to get alcohol into in some way. But I like it. Bring it, Tim.
Okay, so I just my notes. So the game is every time Chief Vic is rocking the popped collar.
Yep.
You take a sip or a shot or you whatever one you want to consume.
That is a new thing. We are seeing a lot of the popped collar, the big wide pop collar. There's a lot in season two.
And a couple in this episode.
It's funny. I'm like always in pink now. I feel like I'm in pink a lot. I did not remember that on the show. And I think in later years I'm not as much, but
well, it's the pink family. It's not always Pepto.
Some cousins of Pepto, some, you know, maybe immediate family of Pepto. Yes.
So I got to say, we started watching the Peacock original series, Angeline, last night, which is really good. And her, of course, Corvette was Pepto pink, like the most Pepto pink I've ever seen, which I don't, having seen her Corvette around town every now and then, I do remember it being quite so Pepto.
It's very Pepto.
Crud it was.
She had a lot of pink. I watched the first episode of that as well. Was it you who told me that there was a little bit of a thing in Hollywood that if you saw Angeline's car on the day of an audition, it was good luck?
No, but I love that. I wish that was me.
All right. Someone told me that at some point when I moved to LA.
That's
because
an
she was
amazing
such a
Hollywood, yes, Hollywood urban legend.
Yes, urban legend. Thank you. Because you do. You see her car just randomly and her license plate around, you know, all the time. You would see it around Hollywood. And someone told me that, and it was probably a lie, and I believed it. But they said, you know, if you see Angeline the day of an audition, it's good luck. So I remember that. I thought it was you who told me that. All right.
No, but I wish I was smart to come up with that.
It's pretty good. Okay. The chief has Juliet. Okay, we've already gone there. Okay. Sean and Gus are secretly working with an assistant officer at the facility. This is our guy. Yes.
So again, another psychic. I know it's too soon, but it's another psychic premonition. Or it's 6 degrees of Tim. This actor, of course, is Curtis Armstrong, mm-hmm, who I eventually would come to know from. We were both on Supernatural together.
Really?
So maybe like, I can't remember, like, let's say several years after this episode, Curtis and I would find each other on a train going from London to Manchester, England to appear together at a Supernatural convention.
Life is weird.
And then Curtis, in addition to Revenge of the Nerds, was also, I mean, I grew up watching on Moonlighting, which we know that Moonlighting was such a huge part of the framework of this show for Steve Franks, our glorious creator. And
absolutely.
Leader.
Yeah, that's so true. And he's also in Revenge of the Nerds, which for Revenge of the Nerds fans. Anyway, yeah, and he was great in this. All right. So they're working with an assistant officer at the facility. He mentioned that the missing old man disappeared 3 days ago without a trace. Sean puts together that the missing man is a runner. The home's chef walks by and asks if he has any special dietary needs. Sean and Gus mess around and say not to give him any solid foods. Henry, this is such a funny, this whole thing was very funny, past 12 p.m. because it was, you know, his bad heart.
And sorry to interrupt. When Sean is Sean visioning the calendar and realizes that he's a runner and he's been training for the marathon, then Henry says, how'd you come up with that? It goes, easy, it's Val Kilmer's birthday, which is almost a psychic premonition, but I think it doesn't count because we mention Val almost every episode.
Yes, we do. And
so didn't count for that one.
And he mentioned, and then Henry mentions his obsession with the guy from Real Genius right. As they walk down the hallway. Yeah. Anyway, I did look up Val Kilmer's birthday. It is December 31st. So maybe this all took place on New Year's Eve. I don't know. It could have. Anyway, Sean and Gus walk around the joint and think of how the old guy would run off. Sean and Gus have two choices for paths. Sean and Gus go together on the right side path. Sean finds a pedometer. Yes, sir.
So as they're out, this is a little insider insight. The path they're going, like the footbridge they walk over and the path they eventually follow where the runner would go, that's the trail right behind the North Shore Studios, which was my favorite hiking trail I'd take Lucy on.
It was, it's beautiful. I recognize those stairs as well.
So this trail, just for all of you who wondered what I would do on episodes where I didn't have a lot going on, I'd kind of look at the schedule and I could figure out if I was going to have a several hour break. So I'd bring my hiking gear and if I, halfway through the day, if I knew that I was going to have like a couple hours off, I would take Lucy across the street for a swim in the river and, which was the same river I eventually went into for Lassie Jerky.
Yep.
That freezing glacier-fed river. But there's this trail that was just, you could just go for miles and hours. And eventually, if you wanted, you could take it all the way up to Cypress.
Yeah, I remember you doing that hike with Lucy all the time.
And as you go far enough, you hit this double waterfall spot. It was just, it was my favorite spot with my beautiful Lucy dog.
Yeah. Lucy, who we
missed. So I was excited to see that in the episode, this trail.
All right, so on this side path, Sean finds a pedometer. Exactly 6 miles, they were the same distance from the old folks' home. Sean and Gus arrive at the closest hospital. Sean remembers the missing old man left his wallet at home. He asks her to search for John Doe's. All of the Doe's, actually, that's right. Play, Taekwon, Cookie. This is such a good joke.
That's a great one.
Such a good joke. Oh, we should mention, too, this was written by Anupam.
Anupam wrote this? I did not know that. I was looking
for it. Yes.
Excellent work, Anupam.
Thank you, Anupam. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life can be overwhelming, and many people are burned out without even knowing it. Symptoms can include lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detachment, fatigue, and more. I feel like after the last couple of years and everything happening in the world right now, we reach that burnout point a lot faster. Maybe than we used to. We associate burnout with work, but that is not the only cause. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feel burned out, and BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with someone can help you figure out what is causing stress in your life. I had such a nice experience with BetterHelp. I know I've talked about it a million times on here, but I can't stress the ease and the comfort and the safety of it. They ask so many questions and you can customize everything to your comfort and needs. And I feel like that is so necessary and what makes BetterHelp really special. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. The Psychologist RN listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/pineapple. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/pineapple.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sean and Gus pull a Scooby-Doo and dress up as doctor and nurse in a hospital closet. Dooley as a candy striper was very, very funny.
And his little hat.
He says it was, you know, he's like, I thought that was just for women or something. And Gus was like, there was a lawsuit. Don't, you know, it's a whole thing. Anyway, Lasseter and Juliet take the kid on a drive in the cop car, in their cop car. He asks Jules if anybody ever told her her hair smells like strawberries. Lasseter then interrupts really funny. And says it smells like peaches. It's this whole little bit was, I thought this was fun for us. And I remember this day. Oh, I remember this day because it was really hot. And in the car, we could not have the AC on because of the mics. And there's also a light in there. Yeah.
And to shoot this, we'd be up on top of a flatbed, right?
No. Well, yes, I do think that some of this was done towed. And then I think some of it was we had to do multiple drive-bys, I remember. I remember doing the multiple drive-bys. Where we just drive by and they have like might catch a glimpse of us and the kid in the back or whatever. And this was all right by the studio as well. It's so funny. All these memories are coming back now. But I do remember that it got really hot, but we couldn't turn the AC on because of the noise it would make and it would pick it up on the mics.
Or the windows down.
Or the windows down. Right. Exactly.
So it was so really funny. A day when you realized you found out if your partner's deodorant was working.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think you can even tell I'm sweating in some of it. Lasseter up says it smells like peaches. Very, very, very cute thing that he has noticed about her hair. Sean notices the missing old man in the hospital. Back at the old folks' home, Henry races in the pool and wins. This was so funny. All of the ladies are obsessed with him.
And how fit does Corbin Burnson look in this episode?
So good. I was seeing the same thing. I was, for you know, it was a nice Henry-centric episode, but also, like, he looked great in his onesie, whatever the hell
he was like
wearing.
In his, like, 1930s onesie swimming suit.
It was really good. Sean notices that all of the people that are getting sick are wearing matching bracelets. Right. Sean and Gus arrive at the police station telling them that old people are dying. Sean also mentions his theory about the bracelets. Back at the facility, Sean and Henry go back and forth dancing with the queen bee of the old folks' home. Adorable.
So funny, this spot. I mean, this scene.
So cute. And watching them tango was, it was just fantastic. Apparently, all of the bracelet men had high blood pressure. Sean and Gus try to find a list of people's medication. All of the people that got hurt are on full-time care. Apparently, someone on the waiting list got tired of waiting, so they needed to make their entry quicker. Back at the station, Lasseter makes the delinquent talk to a prisoner. This was very funny. The prisoner puts up a front. He tries to scare him, but he can't lie. He actually
part of that, I have to shout out, in the scene with Vic's office when she's introducing us to the delinquent kid.
Yeah.
Got to shout out your wardrobe. It's a totally new O'Hara look.
Is
you're
it?
Like, yeah, you're in a like a V-neck t-shirt. You're just in a it's super casual.
Oh yeah, it was casual. I noticed it too. I liked it. I did notice that.
Like, it was a much softer, casual Juliet O'Hara. You looked so good in this episode.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
That's nice. That's really nice. Okay. Okay, the prisoner puts up, okay, he tries to scare him, but he can't lie. He just talks about how great prison is. We learn the bad guy is the woman who gives the food. She has been trying to get people out of the nursing home because her mom was 7th on the list and she wants her in this place because it's much nicer than the one she's currently in. Sean gets a check for solving the case. Juliet sternly yells at the delinquent. Tail between his legs, he apologizes to Lasseter. Julie walks away proudly in her Pepto pink top.
Actually, I don't think it was Pepto. I think this is more persimmon.
Ooh.
I went persimmon. Or last night, pink. Let's go with, it was paprika.
Paprika pink. I don't remember the color that well. Paprika is like a little more red, right? Was this
yeah,
a little
it's
more
reddish.
Red?
So
like
cranberry? I'm not looking for anything in sort of the reddish family.
I like it. I like anything in the reddish family.
I'm going pomegranate pink.
Palm pink.
The palm pink. So this is a little darker. So it's somewhere between persimmon and, I don't know, is persimmon even a color? It is, right?
Absolutely. person so and
it was,
pink.
Yeah, it was this year, which we could also do. I don't know if we want to do a third variation to the drinking game, but we could really go with every time O'Hara's back in the red family, back in the Pepto family.
I don't know if we should promote that, Tim, because people will be drunk before like this third scene. Or maybe okay, that's the point.
Well, no, I mean, it is the end of the episode, isn't it?
Unless... No, I'm kidding. No, because I'm in pink earlier as well, I believe, when I first go into the office. There's a lot of pink.
I didn't tag that really in my notes.
Oh.
Maybe I'm not as professional as I made myself out to be.
Oh, there was another wardrobe moment I saw that I thought you would catch that is James in this kind of orange and Henry's in orange as well. They both are when they first go into the place, I think.
You know I only have eyes for your wardrobe, Maggie.
Yeah, I know. I love that you catch all the wardrobe stuff. Oh, I know. I wanted to call something out. There is a dance that as Dulé and James are solving the case that they do, that Dulé goes into like a Michael Jackson move, yeah. And I have no idea what James is doing. It's some maybe like Russian ballet or something. I'm not really sure, but it's so funny, and it ended up becoming a kind of a psychotic clip. I believe it's used in the opening credits in like a following season.
I don't remember. I just remember Dulé's Michael Jackson hand movement. I'm going to go back and watch James's Stone Cold Awesome ballet moves, apparently.
Yes. He's doing something, some very funny dance. Or maybe it has like, maybe it's more river dance. It's just very, very funny. And I remembered it because I feel things. Like it's...
Yeah. Having played the Saint of the Step in Luck of the Irish, I could tell you that's a very... River dance is very different than the Bolshoi.
Okay, so let's say it's river dance.
Oh, right, okay.
At the same time.
It's the hand movement thing.
Yes, it's the hand movement thing. And then Dulé's doing his, like, Michael Jackson, which I'm not even going to attempt. But it's just very funny, and it goes on for just a tiny bit too long. It's perfect. It's so good. Anyway, in this episode, there's, like, such an ease by now, you know, with, like, everybody that, like, we're really, really getting in the groove. Because I really think, like, by the time season 3 rolled around, I think we were less panicked about getting picked up for another season. I think maybe even already knew. I don't know that we had to wait as long from season 2 to season 3, but there's just like an ease that I feel like everybody's just in the groove and like the chemistry is just really popping and it's all good. I don't know. I love rewatching these episodes and talking about them, Tim.
No, because it is really, like I've mentioned before, it's been so long, I've frankly forgotten them, some of them.
Yeah, yeah.
To then rewatch and just go, wow, we're really firing on all cylinders at that point.
Yeah, it's weird because in some ways it feels like it was yesterday, and sometimes it feels like a lifetime ago. And watching the episode, it just brings it all back. It's wild.
Did you catch the, there's a shout out at one point, I think the boys are in the hospital, maybe they're still in the old folks home. He mentions a Dr. Shackman.
I heard that.
Which is a reference to Matt Shackman.
Yeah.
Shackman, who came, did some of our hugest episodes. And in fact, he's directed next week's episode, Lights, Camera, Homicidio.
And Matt Shackman is one of the biggest directors in Hollywood right now.
One of the biggest deals out there.
He's so talented and so kind. Just a good, we love Matt Shackman.
But it was nice to see that. So he was already around doing prep, and I just love that they threw him in there. They threw him a little shout out.
Yeah, it was cool.
To the Shack Attack.
The Shack Attack.
I've never called him that before in my life. I don't know where that just came from.
I've never heard that, but I like it. I like it. And I hope Matt Shackman is listening. And all right. So we got some fan questions. Okay. Are you ready, Tim?
I was born ready.
What did Jules say to the deputy mayor's kid?
I wanted to know the answer to this too. So we're very simpatico, which fan, whoever wrote this question, sent this question in.
I have no idea. It was probably something completely ridiculous. Like I was trying to get him to laugh. Like hamburgers are so good. Or something ridiculous. And then when I had to point, I honestly don't remember. And I almost wonder if, I think I do remember them saying I couldn't actually make noise. Like they didn't want to record what I was, you know, saying it needed to be that nobody could hear and nobody would ever know, but that he would come out terrified.
Hang on. So you are blowing my mind right now. You mean you acted that?
I think I acted that.
You are so much better than even I realized.
Which is why I walk out of that office so proud of myself. I'm like, no one is ever going to know what I just said, including me.
Maggie, all these years of working together, you still are full of surprises.
Yes. Oh, Tim. Okay, where were the assisted living scenes filmed? I don't think it was Riverview.
No, it definitely wasn't Riverview, because Riverview just exudes creepy.
Oh, yeah. And you can always kind of tell that that's like in the background or like that feeling is there. So I would say Riverview, which we will talk about from other episodes if we haven't talked about it on here. It was a very, it's famous for being a haunted old mental institution in Vancouver that has been abandoned, or this one particular building has been abandoned for a very, very,
except
very long time.
Except
for the ghosts.
And the tortured spirits of the psychiatric facility, which is, I think we have talked about it there.
I think we have too. Yeah. It's really, really wild. Like what they left and what is untouched from that time. It's like, don't go to the fourth floor.
Go to the fourth floor, whatever you do.
So, of course, they'll like cut and we're like, let's go to the fourth floor. Terrible. Terrible.
Tim, why are you shaking in a corner? I went to the fourth floor. I went to the fourth floor.
Exactly. We would go up and take pictures to try to see if there were like orbs and things. But people have real stories about it. I didn't have that experience other than it just felt incredibly creepy. But I think, though, the stories are real that people have had.
Well, everybody's got them. It's got to be pretty real.
Yeah, totally. Everyone does. So we don't know where that, we have no idea where that was filmed. We would need like Steve or the guys for that. Does Maggie's hair smell like peaches? I don't know. I would say no. This is more of a gardenia vibe.
Ooh, gardenia's always
than
nice.
Than a peaches vibe, I would say. Yeah. I'm not a, I tend to shy away from the fruitier. That's not true. I do like a little kind of like a citrus scent maybe.
But, in your shampooies?
In my shampooies. No, but fragrance-wise, I generally like really earthy, kind of like earthy stuff. I like green tea and I like woodsy smells.
Honestly, it's been so long since I've seen you in person.
I know,
I don't
Tim.
Know what your hair smells like.
I know. It's just
so
been
we'll just
long.
Say, yes, it smells like peaches and strawberries and everything delightful.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Maggie,
yes.
Lawson. How could it be anything but?
Where would you both want to retire to and why? Oh, wow. Oh, Tim, this is a good question.
Well, considering I'm so much closer to retirement age than you are, this is a little unfair, but.
Stop. I don't know. I need to be with the, I need to be on a ranch with the dirt and the animals. That's what I think. Maybe some trees and some water and
A river and trees for me.
Yeah, river and trees sounds really good. Yeah. Wow. I've never really thought about that. At first I was like, oh, a beach. I'm like, no, actually, that's not. We like the woods.
We like the woods.
Okay. Who is the grandpa? This is going to be a question from the besties in the, I believe, in the psycho group. They call me grandma. They think it's funny. It is. I love them so much, and I love that they call me that. But it says, who is the grandpa or grandma of the group? I don't know. Would that be like, I'd almost like, I don't want to offend anybody. Grandpa and grandma, I kind of think of like, you know, yeah, who's like mom and pop of the group?
Corbin is most definitely, not because of age, but the grandpa being the...
Papa Bear.
The Papa Bear with the most children is definitely the overseer and protector, I think, in that regards.
Yeah, and I would probably say Kirsten as well for the same reason. Just sort of nurture always with the nurturing vibes. Yeah. I'd even throw Jasmine in there now, too, because I feel like Jasmine takes care of everybody as well.
Yeah, or Almaz, our amazing production coordinator.
Oh, Almaz.
Who was always the guy we'd go to, like, for you're new to town and you need like, hey, where should I live? I need help with this. And she'd be the one who would take care of us.
She was our production coordinator. What would we have done without her? What would we have done without her? I'm going to give it all Moz too. And we love you. And
aww,
you saved
Moz.
Us. Oh, wait, there's another one. Was the title of this episode an homage of Corbin's mom being on The Young and the Restless?
Aww.
Oh, maybe so.
It must have been.
It had to have been. Absolutely. Because there's no, what's that other word I'm trying to think of, Tim, that's in the title? What is it?
Murder.
There it is.
I tried to throw a question mark at the end. I tried to go up at the end to make it a question.
I love it. I totally bet it was. Okay, who of the cast would best thrive in a retirement home? Oh, man. I don't
thrive
know.
Thrive is a tough word. Having had parents and in-laws that have been retirement homes, they're not always super fun. So I'm going to say Dula Hill, because you got to be really outgoing to have sort of an enjoyable time there.
Yeah, and you've got to be, I think, really good, like, around, like, Dula is really good at handling a lot of people and being around people a lot. So all the community stuff or whatever, he'd be really, really good at.
And be like, yeah, I'll try some bingo, sure. I'll try some shuffleboard.
Like, exactly.
Because there's always a sort of an event coordinator, not event coordinator, but an activities person who's trying to get people involved and get out of your rooms, come and thrive and be part of the community.
Yeah.
Which a lot of times people don't want to do. So Dula would be like, yeah, I'll try. He's so game for fun. He'd try something.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I also was just thinking about grandma and grandpa, and I was thinking, like, who's the best grandma? I also thought about Steve's parents. Because they were so, not that they were around a lot, but they whenever they would come to visit, it always felt like such a family affair. It was so sweet.
I love his parents. It was always so sweet to see them when they come up. They're so just warm and lovely. And yeah, they felt like part of the cast in a way.
They totally did. And they were just as excited. Like, you know, Steve was always happy and excited and so jolly on set. And they were always like.
We had a lot of parents come to the show. I remember your mom came. My dad came.
Yep.
Dula's mom showed up several times.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. We had lots of families come up. Well, there's our episode. That's The Old and the Restless. That's episode 12. Holy cow.
In the can.
In the can.
And scene.
As
Nailed
they say.
It. Didn't totally screw it up.
Well, Tim, I love you.
Maggie, and I love you too. I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm happy to be feeling better too. I feel like I'm just like a couple days away from 100%, but yeah.
So perfect. So I think we actually get to keep our coffee date.
I definitely think we can keep our coffee date.
And again, looking at your hat, I'm going to go order some Psychologist Turn merch right now.
I love it. I think the colors are so pretty. I'm such an ad right now, but it's like embroidered. It's really, really nice. They're like really nicely made. I'm impressed with our merch.
And the blue does make your eyes pop.
The blue. And you, Tim, you need this. You need this. You might actually need the hat in blue. Though I really do love the black because it makes the blue pop.
There's so much blue popping.
This is a lot of blue popping. I got blue, right,
my
blue jacket.
Friend.
Okay.
I love you. I will see
you
soon.
Okay, I love you too. I'll see you very soon. Okay, love you so much. Okay, bye.
Bye, gang.
What a fun episode. It is so great when Henry gets to play around with Sean and Gus. Loved it. Thank you all for listening to episode 12 of Psychologist RN. We love you, love you, love you so much. Follow us on our Instagram at the Psychologist RN and our Twitter at Psychologist Pod. See y'all next week.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.